I don't know about you, but I think, I believe and think that the internet should be a safer place. Well, what if I told you that there's a tool that can do just that? A safer internet where you don't have to monitor every single thing that your kids do or that you stumble across, whether it's a fake site or not a fake site. This tool is called BlockP. It blocks adult websites, but also blocks those fake websites that you might say, hey, this domain is for sale, and hackers try to hack all that information or try to scam people out of the information. It also protects, and it uses AI to protect against other malicious stuff and other garbage that people may stumble across the web. And you know, I thought to myself the other day, why is the internet not a safer place? Well, it's because there's money involved, and some kind of certain content drives more money. Everything has to do with money. And what I like about this tool is that it uses AI to built into the tool, so there's no false positives, and it's the only tool that lets you password set a Chrome extension or even or an Android app settings, etc., so you can bypass it easily. Give it a try. Go to BlockP and download on Google Play or iOS or in your web browser on whatever web browser you use, and let them know what you think of the tool. They always listen to your feedback, etc. Great company, and they have great things ahead of them, etc. Take them out. Take a test one, check it out. It's free, and let me know what you think. And it's called BlockP. Go check them out.
Welcome to Crazer Fitness Guy Healthy Living Podcast, where we strive to motivate people who are on the autism spectrum to live healthy lifestyles. If you think this podcast is only for people who are autistic, then think again. Whether you are autistic or not, we have a mix of content from healthy living to everything in between that makes up a balanced and healthy life. Autism is our backbone, and we strive to support the autism community by motivating, inspiring, and educating everyone about what autism is. Please welcome your host, Jimmy Clare, who is a motivational speaker, autism advocate, author, and founder of CrazyFitnessGuide.com.
Welcome to another episode of Crazy Fitness Guide's Healthy Living Podcast. I got my friend Pete here today. He hosts the podcast Fire in the Belly. And we're just going to have an interesting conversation. Welcome aboard.
Awesome. Thank you very much, Johnny. It's an absolute pleasure to be here. So thank you. Thank you for your time.
So tell me a little bit about yourself.
Oh, tell me about me. Wow. Lots. I'm literally a proud author of a new book called Be Hard to Be Rich. Sort of listen to you're in a genius. So that literally is, it couldn't be any fresher off the press. I think it arrived in yesterday and we launch next Thursday. So that's been great. I am a mentor, a speaker, a TEDx speaker, a father, an investor. So lots about me, really. But really where a lot of this all changed for me was about 4 years ago, and just took a massive turn in my life, really, I suppose. And it really was just from a point of just being a bit lost and overwhelmed to where I am today. I mean, 4 years ago, I certainly wouldn't have been coming on here having the opportunity to speak to yourself. It would have been very different, you know. So a lot of things change. And you know yourself, Jimmy, it's sometimes you got to decide. You got to make a decision to change. And that's the stage I got to. It didn't happen overnight and it took time. But like I sort of try and say in the book there, it's, you know, be heard to be rich is because, you know, quite often all the answers you need are within you. And the reasons why, you know, we can inherit reasons why from other people, but you've got to do it for you. You know, it doesn't matter what other people think at the end of the day. It's down to you, and you got to listen to yourself. And that's what I've done, and that's what I help a lot of my mentees to do. So, that's a very quick, based here in little old Ireland, And I've got the Fire in the Belly podcast myself, which is just talking about people's passions. So similar to yourself, Jimmy, really, you know.
So how did you, I have a question. How did you get started with your TEDx experience?
TEDx experience is a number of things happened that a local guy actually sort of took on the local license. And really, it was just sort of, I'd been sort of working with him and liaising with him in terms of actually other events he was running. So just pretty much sitting in the background and just helping with the overall visioneering and the masterminding. So pulling together a bit of a plan, and the opportunity came up from that to say, well, listen, you know, why not come in? And listen, it's been a bit of a bucket list for me, and I love a bucket list or a love list, whatever you want to call it. You know, it's really just putting it out there. And so it was awesome, you know, something there, a chance to put it out there and put it into the world. So it's great. But like anything, of course, you get a taste for it, and then you want to do more. And hopefully there's more coming up. But that's how the whole TEDx experience came about. And do you know what? It's great fun to stand on the spot. It's a bit of a funny year because obviously there was no audience. So it was all in a TV studio. But it was great. Listen, it was awesome to have it out there and to share. So yeah, no, it's been a really fun experience. So it's really good.
I'm jealous because I really want to do one of those. I'm basically down to the editing part, and I even submitted to TED Talk. I submitted to just other places to share it. And I'm still trying to get to the editing part because that's the part where I dislike. I was like, I've got to shave this off, got to shave this off, got to narrow it down. I was like, is it too long? Is it too short? I don't know.
Well, there's a great book called, the TED Talk is one, and then Talk Like TED. So there's actually two books. And there's a great description in there saying you pick your idea, what you'd like to speak about, and then you divide it in half, and then you divide it in half again. And that's roughly, you'll probably still have too much information. So that's, you know, people, they do that. They've got 10 minutes and they try and, you know, put in their whole life journey and a couple of solutions and a few other things as well, right? You know, so 10 minutes is not long. I mean, mine came in at, I think it was 11 minutes something. You know, so but it's amazing how much you can talk about in 10 minutes, and vice versa. It's amazing how much you don't have time to talk about as well. So it's, you've no time for space, but listen, some people turn up and wing it. Some people practice for a long time. You know, I had a coach to sort of help me as well, because it's different. It's not like a normal talk. You know, so that's why I think taking a bit of time, and I'm lucky it's been put onto all the TED platforms, and you know, it's out there. So yeah, it's fun. But sure, listen, it's another thing ticked off. So you'll get there, Jimmy, no time at all. You know, just keep being persistent at it, you know?
Definitely. So how did you come up with the name Fire in the Belly for your podcast?
Super interesting. I mean, really, back in 2017, I got to the stage. I'd basically had as close to a breakdown as you can have. And I got to the stage of searching in my life, not knowing what it was all about. It's close to a midlife crisis, if you'd like to call it that, as anyone's ever had. And I kind of found myself, we had to shut down a company. So we'd laid off staff, and I had young kids, and just sitting there going, what's it all about? You know, conveniently at 37 and a half years of age, and you know, I now look back at it as, you know, that's sort of a midlife crisis or midlife opportunity. And I was sort of saying, yeah, everything's great. And we've a couple of years paid off the mortgage, and the kids are sort of growing up, or they're, you know, babies and getting there. And just when you should have your story together was kind of the one time we're going, I don't know what I want. You know, we've literally just let go of a company. Kids are there, and I'm having to do more, be more. I need to work harder. I need to earn more. And yet I couldn't work any harder. I mean, the stress levels were through the roof already. So you're saying, how do you do that? And I got to meet the likes of Grant Cardone and a few other people. And, you know, you look at them and you're saying, you're you know, you're working similar hours to me, maybe more, maybe less, you know, you meet different people and yet their outcomes are totally different, you know? So saying it's not a case of, you know, my original mindset was I need to work more. And then that's when it was a case of going, I need my formula's wrong. I need to change my formula. And what happened basically over the following 12 months is, you know, as we had twin girls just shortly after that as well, you know, as if I hadn't enough on my plate at that time, and I had depression as well. I talk about that openly. I've had two bouts of depression in my life. And I was pushing my twin girls up the road and I'm sitting here going, how is it that some people are, you know, they sort of get up in the morning and they go and turn on the TV and that's it. You know, and yet some people get up in the morning and go and reinvent the world. They speak on stage, they write a book, they, you know, be crazy fitness guy, they do whatever they do, right? You know, they really want to excel. They're hungry, they're thirsty for more and more and more. So it's like, what's the difference? You know, and I was just rattling through my head and it's kind of going, I know my formula is wrong. So, I mean, how do they know? Do they go by gut, you know, gut instinct? Do they talk about intuition? They talk about, you know, this fire in the belly, or they talk about, you know, your passion or your desires, you know, and, you know, this fire in the belly. And it's like, fire in the belly, that's a really kind of it's a weird term, but, you know, what's that about? You know, what does it actually mean? And that's exactly, I just started asking that question. I know the time and day that the whole fire in the belly concept just dropped into my head, but I loved it straight away simply because I can talk to you and we're thousands of miles apart. And yet you'll know what I mean, right? And it's nothing to do with race or gender or, you know, nationality or anything, right? It can be applied to anything. Some people may not know the term, some people may, but when you talk about a passion or a burning desire, they're like, oh yeah, I get that. You know, it doesn't matter who, what age group you talk to. And that's what I loved about it. It was completely, you know, non-denominatory. And so it actually allowed people just to, so, you know, to talk. And so I was asking the questions for me, really, and I started off with my own family and my brother-in-law and sat down and going, what does fire in the belly mean to you? And we ended up having like a 2.5-hour conversation, unintentionally. It was just, we got talking about it, and like only for the fact I had to go and pick up the kids from school or from nursery, you know, we would have still been talking, right? But it, from the very, very first conversation, I just knew straight away there was something about fire in the belly, and it's unique to everyone. What does it for me, Jimmy, may not do it for you, or vice versa. And that's okay. But when someone finds their fire in the belly or their passion, you know, because their energy level is high. They're doing it, you know, even if they're not getting paid, they're doing it because they love it, or they think there's something there, or there's a passion they want to share with the world. So that's so common, you know, that people talk about that. And, you know, you hit somebody's, you know, passion project, if you like, and they'll talk forever. You know, here's me, for example, I'll talk, no problem. You know, so a bit of a long-winded version, but that's kind of how Fire in the Belly came about.
And sounds better than my story of how Crazy Fitness Guys got its name. I'll give you a secret. I'll tell you a funny story. Maybe not really funny, but I was known as a different name when I was back then, and but then it was infringing on someone else's trademark. I didn't know that at the time because, well, you can't figure out any government website. I can read it. I didn't know how to read it. I didn't know how to work it. So I infringe upon it by accident, and I can't say the name because I don't want to infringe upon it again. I think I let it loose on one podcast, and I hope it doesn't bite me in the butt. But yeah, and then I changed my name, and since someone had Crazy Fitness Guy registered, I took it. I told you it's not that great from the start.
Stay with us. We'll be right back.
Thanks to our sponsorship with Deep Stash. You're probably wondering, what the heck is Deep Stash? Well, Deep Stash allows you to learn new stuff every single day. You can become the smartest person in the room with unlimited access to 200,000 plus powerful ideas from top books, podcasts, and more. They have a generous free plan. And if you want to check them out, click the link below in the podcast descriptions. Either or will work. But yeah, but definitely check them out, because if you're a daily learner like me and like to learn new stuff, I don't always have time to read 11-minute articles or 15-minute articles during the day. So with Deep Stash, I can listen to them on the go while I'm driving the car or on an airplane, etc. So go check out my friends at Deep Stash. You won't regret it.
Why not, right? You know, but when you see an opportunity, because other people will see that and go, well, that's interesting, whereas you had the passion and the energy to actually follow through with it, right?
True. I just like your story better.
Well, it's taken a long time to get to my story. There's a lot of pain, and even now it's like it's kind of weird, because people go, well, what's my fire in the belly? And what I find through this process, and even writing the book there and doing all that, is actually I love talking to people. I love finding out their passion. And, you know, and it's such an amazing thing, because we talk about it and saying, when's the last time you got to talk about you for 1 hour, 2 hours, completely without judgment, in an open space, safe space, you know? And it's amazing, actually, the number of people that have never had a chance to do that. It's really bizarre, you know, and it's generally people say, well, I maybe never have, or it's been years, or maybe if you have a counselor or something else, but quite often even with a counselor, right, because we're looking at the past, you know, so it's very rare that you actually take this, you know, almost this sort of beach chair view of your life, and you sit at 10,000, you know, foot and look back and saying, well, this happened when I was young, and here's where I am today, and here's where I want to go in future. And you know, I'm not there to judge them. I don't know them. So, but for some reason, it just seems to actually, you know, light people up a bit, you know, because it is positive. And we do say, listen, you know, we pre-record, but there is a high chance of it actually going, you know, out to the public. And for that reason, it kind of fills a very unique space. And then for me, listening and actually asking those questions, it's quite key. And quite often people don't even realize the language they use, or they don't realize that certain things they'll emphasize, or certain things they'll, what's most common is actually, I call it the 7-year pattern. And it's so common there that people will do things in 7-year cycles. So they'll have a job, they'll work hard at the job, and then they'll get itchy feet and they'll want a new job. But it tends to run in 7-year cycles. And for so many people, you can actually plot it, and you can see whether on the dip or they're on the peak of the cycle or where they're at, you know. And listen, you can read into that what you will, but quite often it's just knowing where you're at and, you know, where your options are, et cetera. You know, it's key. It's key for a lot of people, you know, so that's super interesting. I must say, I really enjoy it.
And when you speak, what are the topics that you speak about?
So my background is I'm a property investor. So, I started 21 years ago now, buying property, a bit like Monopoly. It just kind of got a little bit out of hand. So that's the one thing. I've always had that in my background, and I'll save everyone the math. I'm 41. So I started when I was 20. And it just made sense, right? Because you bought the property, you took on a mortgage or a debt, and you know, as long as the rent was greater than the cost of the debt, then that's fine, right? You just collect the rent and pay the mortgage. And that sort of went on, but that was always in the background. Well, fast forward 21 years now, and, you know, a lot of those properties that I bought 21 years ago now have doubled, trebled, quadrupled in value. So that's done quite nice for me. So that's something, and that portfolio has grown quite substantially. So that's been awesome. And I love, you know, that's essentially, I mentor a lot of people on not just property, but assets, because an asset, I mean, this recording is an asset, right? You know, because we're talking here today, this recording can be used, put on a podcast, it could be put on a YouTube channel. But the point is, it can always work while you're not working. So you can go to sleep and people anywhere in the world could watch this. And so that gives it an asset, gives it a value. So then what you do with it, then you could transcribe this podcast, you could take short clips, you could do, you know, basically our challenge is always to try and do more than 10 things with every podcast. And then you can do up to 99 things at least, if possibly more. But, you know, it's actually doing that. So monetizing and really sort of pulling value out of assets, and property is no different. You know, an asset can be that book. That book is an asset. You know, it's anything there that you can own, but you don't necessarily need to turn up to run. So, you know, because if you have a job, you know, the problem is always that if you don't turn up for work, how long do you think you'll stay employed?
Zero.
So, right. So, but where, you know, you put out your podcast show and, you know, if you sort of decide to lie in tomorrow morning and not get up, you know, that hasn't an effect on the podcast. I mean, long-term, yes, it's a problem, but short-term, you know, there is no difference. You can still listen to the shows. You can still do all that. So by becoming a asset-based person, so it talks about all about assets and liabilities. Everything in your life is an asset or a liability. So I do a lot with people there is actually helping them to actually build wealth on their side. I also talk to people about depression, my own mental health, and like say my own two phases of depression in my life. But I suppose really the fun part I like is often the mentoring and, you know, the sort of the intuitive coaching quite often, which is super fun. And that's kind of a version from the podcast show, but often I have a lot of shows that actually don't go to air because either it gets too emotional for people or it ends up that actually the story is much bigger than they've said. So I realized straight away, I was going, this is not just a podcast show. This is like, could be six shows. It could be a book. It could be, you know, a whole training program, you know, 50 different things. So helping people to actually unwrap that, you know, and really sort of pull that through. And that's what I love to see. And then, you know, when you're working with people and helping them to find their passion. So that's just some of the things I do, let alone being a father and being generally just busy and being a podcast host and all the rest, you know. So busy life, but probably property is the one thing that always comes back. So property and mentoring would be my main things. Most people would know me for the podcast. So,
I know how you feel about being very busy. The last few weeks have been, I took a hiatus break this week of creating new content because it's just because I had so many different house showings at different times. I also had, I'm just going through, I'm getting ready for a season two of my podcast. And I was like, I want to be fresh for season two. And I was like, I'm not making anything. And plus I had a test for college that landed on a Tuesday. And so I was like, wait, that goes right into my editing day. And I was like, no, I'm not doing it. I'm not rushing. As I'm not going to go on Monday and edit the whole thing on Monday and get it out for this week. Because if I rush, I'm going to miss something and mess up the editing or something. It's not going to turn out the way I want it to. And I'm like, nope, I don't have a good feeling about this. And like, I'm taking a break. And it's like, everybody doesn't like it. I don't care.
Stay with us. We'll be right back.
Did you know Crazy Fitness Guy is not backed by any corporate company and is just a one-person show? Well, there's this term around the podcasting community called indie podcasters. I'm an independent podcast creator. So because I'm not backed by a huge, big corporate company, well, if I run out of money and everything else, Crazy Fitness Guy would no longer exist. No website, no podcast, no nothing. If you want to help support the show and keep our lights on, consider becoming a premium podcast member of Crazy Fitness Guy's premium podcast. You get behind-the-scenes access, early access to shows, private Discord server, and premium Discord roles, and exclusive behind-the-scenes access. Plans start at $3.99 a month or $30 a year.
That's totally. And it's, I mean, that it brings up a great point because, I mean, knowing what you're good at or what you've time for is absolutely key. And this is something that took me a long time. And I was only diagnosed with dyslexia and ADHD. It was only about, well, it was 2 years ago now. And you're kind of going, you're 41. I mean, you were diagnosed at 39. It was like, yeah, because it was actually my niece got diagnosed. And then with my girls, I thought, well, if my niece has it, and I know my sister, you know, and I would be very similar. So it's like, well, I'll get diagnosed. So then at least we know to look out for it in my daughters. And unintentionally, that then, you know, I sort of going, right, well, I was diagnosed straight away. And I hadn't expected the ADHD. The dyslexia, yes, the ADHD was a bit of a curveball. But so from that, you know, because, and even the assessor was saying, do you ever notice that, you know, there's times when you can be super creative or there's certain things that always slow you down. So I would go to a meeting and I'd be very interactive. And then it would, you know, I'd go to a 1 hour meeting, but it would take me 3 hours to write up the notes from the meeting. And I would procrastinate on it and I would delay on it and I would do all this. And essentially what actually triggers and gives you that dyslexia diagnosis is that, you know, your reading and writing skills would be lower than average. But yet, for me anyway, my creativity, my intuitive and visualization were above average. So overall, I'm above average IQ. So it's not that I can't read and write. I'll just never read or write for pleasure or leisure. So when you know that, you know, and I, it was only afterwards I saw there's so many things in my life I was doing. So I would chat to someone that's going, will you send me an email with that? Yeah. 3 days later, I don't know. And suddenly it becomes like this mental burden. So really since then, that's why I was saying with the podcast, I now have an editing team. And I go, guys, love doing the recording. There's a recording. Shout if you need anything. Yep. Happy days. You know, and because I know if when it comes down to that detail, that's just not me. Whereas before I would have given myself a really hard time. It's like, oh, you're lazy, you're silly, you're, you know, you're not smart, you're this, you're that, the other. Whereas now I'm going, it's just not my thing. You know, let me be creative, let me go intuitive, let me, I mean, I'll doodle on, you know, anything the size of a wall and we'll map out somebody's harebrained idea and we'll go crazy. But ask me to write a list or read a page out of a book. It's kind of ironic because I run reading groups, but, you know, ask me to do that without duress or pleasure or, you know, any sort of focus. I won't do it. You know, my wife's completely different. She can read a book from cover to cover and she can then pick out which page it says X, Y, or Z. I, in the meantime, will have made 4 cups of coffee, walked the dog, gone and spoke to the postman and probably gone into town and gone to the shop or something instead of sitting down and reading the book. So knowing your pleasure or knowing your pleasures, knowing your strengths, I think there's so many people don't always do that. You know, so that's the point of listening to your inner genius. What lights you up? What just isn't your thing? And it's okay. You know, it's okay to say, listen, I'm maybe not a good listener, or, you know, I'm just not somebody that's interested in history, or I'm not interested in, you know, anything, you know, just engineering. You know, we're all different creatures. And sometimes I do think we try and wear a lot of caps when actually, if you just reclaim that that's just not your thing and said, yes, but my thing is this, and anything that's not my thing, then I will find somebody else, or I will earn enough money to go and pay somebody to do it, or I will accept that I have to do it for a certain time to then ultimately give it away. You know, but instead, how often do we fester with something and say, oh, well, and we give ourselves a hard time. You know, my sister's better at this, or my dad did this, or someone else did this. Okay, they're not you. But we do. We hang on to it. We give ourselves a hard time instead of just going, it's just not me. And that's okay. And that's not who I am. And that's okay with me. I'm happy. Let it go. Move on. And that for me, you know, it's been huge.
I'm one of those people who can read a book too. Front to cover, but it depends on what the book I'm reading and what it's for. If I have to read something for school, I get it done, but it's like, this is tormenting, or this is, I give you an example. My English class back in last semester, like, I did well in the class. It was just so much depressing stuff we were reading. I'm like, I don't even want to read this. And like, where did you find this? The most depressing section of the internet or what? Because even if I typed into Google 1,000 different things, there's no way I could find all this depressing stuff myself. I was like, I wouldn't even want to go looking for it.
Yeah, it's amazing. Well, I mean, it depends what you want to learn, right? And the reason why, you know. And before, I had no interest in, you know, running a podcast, editing software, you know, it just didn't even come on my radar. But suddenly then it becomes relevant, you know. But even for me now, running the podcast, I know it's, for me, it's probably step 3 of 13, you know. So the podcast is good, but it's like, it's leading to somewhere. It's not the end product, you know. So it's funny how you'll learn differently. And whereas before, I wouldn't have shown an interest in that, or, you know, I'm not a cover-to-cover person, you know. The likes of yourself who does actually read stuff, then, you know, sort of look down. Whereas I will, you know, I will actually sort of try it. I'm very kinesthetic, so very much, you know, trying by doing, by, you know, giving it a go. Sometimes it works and sometimes it doesn't. That's okay, you know. It's whatever's right, really, you know.
So I was wondering, would you be willing to give me a little bit of insight of what it's like to live with ADHD? Or
sure, it's interesting. So there's two types. So the attention deficits, you've hyper disorder, so you've ADD, you've ADD, AD, and ADHD. So the hyper bit is variable. And interestingly, even whenever they go through, so I had my assessment very late in life, really. I mean, probably best to take you back to when I was roughly around 12. And I had gone into, you know, your equivalent of high school, secondary school here. And what was happening was, you know, I was very much square peg in round hole. And what tends to happen there, when you can't either keep up or you're not necessarily fully understanding, quite often you will do potentially disguising behavior, okay? And for me, that disguising behavior was causing trouble, bullying, just generally being a bit of a menace. The truth be told was that actually I couldn't necessarily either focus, or, you know, just the training or the sort of the learning program that suited everyone else didn't suit me. And I love it. I mean, there's different quotes, and one Jay Shetty talks about, which is an older quote, but he talks about, you know, why would you teach a fish to climb a tree, right? And that's kind of what it was for me. Now, some people will have ADHD or ADD at that young level. I don't know, because I was never assessed at that age. What can tend to happen is that actually then that will actually sort of wear off, but it becomes less prevalent when you become an adult. You have another type where it's actually not that, you know, it doesn't occur that much as a younger person, but actually becomes more recognizable as an older person. So I don't know. I mean, as I would suspect, you know, as a young person, I certainly had dyslexia. I suspect there was ADHD in there too. What sort of happened through school is that I ended up, I was more or less, you know, suicidal, simply because I was trying hard, and yet the school was saying I wasn't trying hard enough and I wasn't focusing and I was causing trouble. And, you know, I was saying, well, that was me trying my best, you know, and they're saying, well, you know, all my report cards always said, you know, if he just focused or if he just tried, he could do so much better, you know, show so much potential. But there's always a but, right? And you kind of eventually go, do you know what? I've tried hard. I've tried focusing. I've tried doing this. I've tried doing that. So do you know what? I can't win. So instead, I'll just go the other way, you know. And that's why I now recognize, I mean, the schooling system that I went through, a very good schooling system, but it just wasn't for me. It just wasn't the right fit for me. Really through adults, what would happen is I would mixture of massive procrastination. So, you know, you put things off, you know, without sounding obvious, but great ideas, but then, you know, you'd sort of not do certain things, or if the certain tasks that were fairly menial would then basically be like a huge speed bump that would slow you down. And it wouldn't be until there was a lot of back pressure, a lot of angst and worry and concern. And then, you know, I used to talk about it, about being, you know, sort of, I was an arsonist firefighter, in that, you know, I would wait till something, you know, was sort of, you know, basically you're trying to do something and I wait till it was getting really bad. So I would set the building on fire. Metaphorically, I would hasten to add, but I'd set the building on fire. And then at the 11th hour, I'd come and put the fire out. And I was going, look at me. I put the fire out. How good am I? Yep. Yep. You know, that's me. Sorted out all the problems. And that's great until you realize going, yeah, you did. And you did, you know, and that's where I'm most creative is at the 11th hour when the pressure's on. Pressure is for diamonds, by the way. But, you know, but it's only when I look back is kind of going, you put the fire out, but you also started the fire. You know, it's like this didn't need to be a huge, big, you know, panic, urgent, crazy task, because it could have been done days ago, weeks ago, whatever it was. And that's where ADHD started to come in. Or else, you know, I say to people, and now it's like I'm going, don't send me an email with any more than 2 paragraphs, absolute maximum. Any more than 2, in fact, sometimes even more than 1 paragraph, I'm not reading it. You know, and it's like, I don't mean to be rude, but it's just not my thing. And it's kind of hard because even my wife would sort of say, oh, can you read that? Or I sent you that link. Can you not just, you know, could you not just go and read that? And it's kind of going, nope. It's not that I can't, but I won't sit still long enough from going through. So there's different things like that, which, you know, it's kind of flashy attention. You know, it's, you know, just different ideas, different suggestions, but then, you know, massive list of things you haven't done. And that the problem is also that can then sit on your mind and go, oh, I failed at this and I haven't done this. And there's, you know, there's a world's full of things I haven't done. So you can then look at the medication route. And I have gone on different types of medication. I'm not on any medication at the moment. So you have like Ritalin. There's all basically, which is a form of speed. It's a sort of microdosing forms. So there's different things. For me, it had a real impact on my sleep. And I sleep up until pre-kids. Sleep was always a problem. Just really, you know, really struggled. Very active. I sort of came awake at 12 o'clock at night. And that was my creative time. I came up with some amazing stuff. The problem is that I wouldn't get to sleep till 3, 4, whatever. And then I'd be up for work at 7. So there's only so long you can do that before, you know, and I would sort of almost this peaks and troughs of this hyper and then this crash, hyper and crash, hyper and crash. That was very much me. I was a high functioning, and that's probably where the hyper bit comes in. It's like, I think we're all on a autistic scale. I think we're all there somewhere, but it's almost as well in terms of almost a form of bipolar. You know, there's times when I'm mass creative and very social and all the rest, and there's times when I'm not, I just don't want to be. So, again, a really long answer to your question, but sort of for me, it's just understanding is when do I function best? When is it a waste of time? You know, when am I sort of, you know, literally I'm banging my head off a wall. It's completely just, you're telling me something that's bouncing off and going straight back out again. So, you know, really, and that's been a huge thing over the last 2 years is getting my head around that and going, you know, what does it mean to be dyslexic? And that's why, like, writing the book, it's kind of ironic. I'm kind of going, okay, so, and this is the first, we have probably 3 more books coming out this year and I'm helping 6 other people write their book. And you kind of going, how does that work with a dyslexic, right? So, well, as you know now, I have no problem with this hole in the front of my face. So you can talk, and that's the thing. And the software is so good now that you can actually talk a book, you know, and you can talk your ideas and your structures. And I go crazy with, you know, whiteboard and static sheets on the wall and basically map it all out and then work with people that I need to, instead of giving myself a hard time and going, I need to sit with a typewriter and banging out all the keys and all the rest, you know, that's not going to happen. Whereas I can say, if I can get the structure right and I can get the content there, I can then sit with somebody who does like the details. So somebody that can edit the book and understand what a good book structure is. And then I can work with an illustrator and I can send them my pretty scratch drawings and they can turn it into something funky. And then I can work with the illustrators and the book designers and do all that. So one thing for me is just being the stuff that doesn't float my boat, or maybe it does float my boat, but I just know if you want this done, don't ask me. Because I will sit and I will redesign the logo 42 times and I'll still hate it. I'll think it's good, but I'll also hate it. Whereas I go, if I give it to you, I'll pay you and you'll come back with something. And now that I've found my power team, you know, and this is people I go to. So if I'm looking for a mentor, I go to this person. If I'm looking for someone to help me edit the book, it's this. If I'm looking for a book mentor, I go for this guy. If I go here, it's, you know, the illustrator. I go here, here, here. And that's the key thing of anything, right, is finding your power team. So with ADHD, it's a case of going is knowing what you're good at and doing lots of it. And the stuff that you aren't good at, get the hell rid of it. You know, give it away, pay somebody, do somebody, because otherwise it will just keep tripping you up. And the sooner you realize that, instead of going, oh, I'm just not a good person because I can't design a logo. Okay, that's just not the way your brain works, as opposed to going, I can do it in PowerPoint and then I'll jump onto Canva and then I'll ask the opinion of 50 people on Facebook and I'll do this and I'll do this and do this. And you'll never be happy. Yet, when you find your passion, you'll sit and you'll talk and you'll be the smartest person in the room. You find your niche, your niche. And really is just find your niche, your niche, and basically drill on that, as opposed to trying to be, you know, master of everything, and actually you end up master of none, you know, or and I remember the saying that we end up with being, be the master of one thing, you know, and be, if you can reclaim, you know, become a quitter, quit doing the stuff that just doesn't do it for you. If you're not good at it, fine, let it go. You know, and people panic and saying, oh, then, you know, then I'll only be this. It's like, yeah, but be that, be the best person at that in the world. You know, so that's a very long answer, but hope that explains ADHD a little bit.
Well, I can totally relate to some of the procrastination. I think one of the things I procrastinate on, and I gonna totally admit it, because I have to, at the beginning of each year, I don't like set any New Year's resolutions. I just set goals for throughout the year, because I like to give myself just something to shoot for. And so I got a lot accomplished already. But there's this one daunting task that I'm not looking forward to doing. And I get to everything else because it's like, oh, like I'm willing to, I'm organizing. I have a lot of different profiles, not even just social media profile. Well, I mean that too, but I'm on different sites with different profiles, like different bios, etc. And I'm putting them all in an organized space, all in one of my tools called Notion, because I forgot to update one of the profiles, and it's kind of, I keep on losing track of where I am on the web, because it's like, I'm on here, right? And it's like, oh, well, I'm out of, let's say, 10 profiles, I missed one. And so I got like 9 out of 10, which is fine, but it's just like, there's got to be a better way to make sure I have a consistent bio across my presence on the web. So that's fine, but the problem of one of the things I need to get to is transferring all my Google photos to Shutterfly, because Google is gonna be basically just dinging free storage users. They're not giving unlimited space in Google Photos anymore, and they don't give a reason why they're doing that. I think they did something that they don't want to admit, and it's going to come out later, but I don't have any proof. But out of all the years you offer free unlimited photos to Google Photos and then you just change on a dime, something's a little fishy. But so I had to basically transfer all of those, and I tried downloading all the photos so I could just upload it all once to Shutterfly, but they don't take that format that Google exports it out of. So I had to go through one by one by one by one, select each one, and just transfer it over. And even though the computer's doing all the work, I basically had to select each and every photo, and it's like, this is absolutely terrible. And like, I have many different Google accounts, and so the other one I'm okay with because I didn't have that many photos in there. But for my own account, I've had since like 2013 of using Google Photos, and it's like, oh, this is going to absolutely suck. And I had the mindset of that project because, yeah, I have better things to do in my life, podcasting, speaking on different other podcasts. I don't want to do it. And I was like, and like Google gave me these tools, and it's like, oh yeah, here, you just transfer it here. And it's like, yay, but your transfer thing doesn't give me the right format. And it's like, thanks a lot. And it was like a $1 billion company just can't give me the right tool. Just like, here, just transfer. Whoop, done. Can't get anything easy. And then like I start Googling stuff, and yep, can't find it. There's not an easy way to do it. And I'm like, and I can't pay anyone because I don't think anybody else would want to do it either.
It's like that, you know, Eat That Frog. You ever read it, Brian Tracy? It's stuff like that which just holds you back. It's just, you know, it's, but yet you'll then find a piece of software, you'll sit down and do it, and you'll have it done in a fraction of the time that actually compared to the time thinking about it, worrying about it, being annoyed about it, all the rest, you know. It's, and that's the point of Eat That Frog, is almost go and listen, you know, the things that are slowing you down, either you don't get to do the fun stuff till you've done that stuff, or, you know, yeah, the amount of energy, and same, no different to life. How often do we do stuff just because, you know, we put off? I mean, that's one thing for me I say to people is, you know, like, being normal or being okay is almost a curse, because it's not bad enough to change it, but it's not good enough to say that, yeah, I'm really happy with this. Do you know, it's kind of going, well, how was your day? Yeah, it was good. So it could have been better, but it's not bad enough to actually, you know, do something different tomorrow. And that is like, that's like having, you know, a job for life or whatever, that is kind of going, if I don't turn up, I have to keep turning up to keep getting paid. I have to keep getting paid to keep paying the mortgage. I have to have the mortgage so that we can live in this house, so then I can be warm and dry, that then I can go to work. And that goes round and round and round, you know. And
hamster wheel.
Yeah, it's crazy, right? You know, and you just, when you look at it there and saying, unless you can find a way of basically working or earning money while you sleep, you will always work, you know? And that is the thing of going, you know, how do you do that? Whether it is write a book, do a podcast, you know, get sponsored, do, you know, something online, work with clients, do something, get a second job, get it, you know, any of those things, get retrained, you know. Until you do that, you will always exchange time for money, and your future is predictable. You know, you'll get a job, you'll get a promotion, you get another promotion, you'll move companies, you'll do this, you get a bigger house, kids grow up, kids leave, get a smaller house, smaller car, swan around for a while and die. You know? So what are you going to do? You know, what if? What if you tried something different? What if you, you know, started a podcast? What if you, you know, tried something different? So I get it. Listen, I mean, the stuff there that, you know, does trip us all up, you know, and my only encouragement would be to anyone is going, be really honest with yourself. Are you actually going to do it? You know, because if you sort of go, yeah, well, if I have time and all that, is going, honestly, will you ever have time? Years ago, I bought a music collection, like, and tens of thousands of songs and all the rest. And, you know, long before Apple, iTunes and all this carry on, you know, and I was going to catalog and I was going to do this. And then eventually I got to stage like, you know what, you know, and the quota is like almost like buyer's remorse. So you buy it, but yet you keep committing to it because you spent the money. So you don't want to let go of it, because then that would then admit that you bought the wrong thing or you've done the wrong thing. And, you know, and so the hamster wheel keeps going. You know, if it was a fresh decision, you know, would you say, would I keep doing this? If I had to rebuy this, would I buy it now? It's like, hell no. Okay, just because you bought it once doesn't mean you're committed to it for life. You know, so how often do we do that? We won't let go of something because it's going, well, I don't know what else I would do if I'm not doing this. I don't know, I'll keep doing it. Or, you know, but nobody else has told me, or I don't know how other software works, or, you know, I don't know. Do you know, and that's the thing, we sort of get so hung up on, you know, really sort of other things. I mean, of course, Google Photo, they loved that you were committed to them for so long, you know, and they're not going to make it easy for you to leave, you know. And then,
they should.
Well, yeah, I mean, but, you know, at the end of the day, you are the product. You know, people forget that. You know, Facebook, you know, where's the product? You are the product. You know, that's the weird thing. It's like a huge dining plate and you are dinner. You know, advertisers are circling trying to decide who will pay the most to get in front of you. You know, none of us pay to get onto Facebook or Google or any of those, you know, so it's just being very, you know, realizing that, saying someone's paying. You know, there's data houses, there's servers whirring away somewhere. So, you know, it just depends where you sit with it, really.
Yeah, and I think eventually I'm going to, get to the project, do that project eventually. I'm just finishing up my school semester, and I'm not making excuses, but I had like I had a test this week and a paper due all in 1 week, and I'm just focusing on the paper, and I'm like, you know, as long as I get my other stuff done, and I'm still getting all my other stuff done, work-related podcasting and blogging and just writing on my new on the project I've been working on. I was like, as long as I'm getting all to that, not really being lazy. I don't have time for the other project at the moment. And it's like, I don't even think I'm even on the hamster wheel. I just think I'm on the wheel of, I'm basically on the wheel of a never ending, I'm on a wheel that just goes anywhere.
Anything
run around.
Anything but do the actual thing. Yeah, that's the sort of a mechanism I recognize. Like, I'm so busy. Yeah, okay. You know, it's like I'm busy doing anything but this. It's like, well, okay, how quickly could you have that done? No, listen, I get it. I do get it. You know, listen, I don't know. I'm being slightly facetious, but you know, there's a reason to say if you want something done, ask a busy person, you know, because stuff does get done, you run out of time. Whereas, you know, if time is your own, and I recognize that because the way I work quite specifically is for a podcast show, I let people pick their time, you know, they come on, it's all the logistics are sorted out for me. You know, if I say to people, don't phone me, don't send me a long email. If you want me, let's jump on a Zoom call. You can record it. So, because don't expect me to send you notes. And that works. So I have to almost commit myself to sitting in front of people to doing actions. Otherwise, it just doesn't get done. Me left to my own devices, good luck with that. It might get done straight away or it might never get done, you know, and toss a coin as to which it's going to be. And I don't do it out of maliciousness. You know, some people say, why can't you just do this and this? You know, but that's like trying to, you know, have an educated discussion with a 2-year-old. You know, why are they being irrational? Well, I don't know, because they're 2 years old, right? Okay. Well, that's sometimes a bit like with my brain. It's like, why can't you just do this? It's like, because there's something so important that has to be done over there. It's like, really? Yeah, it's really important. So I kind of call myself out a lot. I have to. And that's why I surround myself either with, you know, I commit myself either through time or through resources or through something else. And knowing, like, I mean, and it's so weird because, you know, I have a bookkeeper and I have a PA and I have an accountant and I have all these people that are doing it for me. I used to do it all myself. And yet now that all these people do it for me, I actually make more money by them doing it for me because they do it better, quicker, faster, you know, and they actually end up means that they find, you know, they sort of save me money and then actually can commit more and, you know, get me more organized. So knowing that, if you want something organized, I'm not your person. If you want to come up with a new creative idea and something, you know, really sort of map out a new book or a new business program or whatever, or really sort of do some intuitive work, then I'm your guy. But knowing when to get into the room and get out of the room, that's the one key thing, which I think, to be honest, not many people know that. Not many learn how they learn, you know. I will listen to books like crazy. I listen like mad. You know, listen to the 1.5 times speed. That's my thing. You know, sit me down to read a book. Unless I'm in a reading group, I'm not reading it. You know, so How often do you know that people work, they work best at nighttime, they work best in the daytime, that, you know, they can, you know, put themselves in the study groups or do whatever. Instead, we just try and do what we're always used to do, that school said we should do this or this, or, you know, my teacher or something else said this is the way to study, and you just inherit it. And you, when you don't do it that way, you sort of call yourself all sorts of names in your head, you know, whereas going, okay, let's look at my success pattern here. What has worked for me? What do I do and what do I not do? Ask your family, what am I good at? What am I not good at? You know, be real, very real with yourself. Where's my forte? You know, you'll do podcasts, you'll do all these things, but yet there's certain things left undone. And that's okay. You know, you don't need to feel hard about it. Just say, well, okay, that's me.
I just think the reason why I haven't gotten to it is because it's not on my high priority to-do list. I think because I think it's because since I'm managing everything else, I did get a lot of everything else done. I just don't feel like that. I feel like it's another project for just, I think it's just a project, an ongoing project that I can just wait until, like, for one more month when my school's over. My school's over, like, I think early May. So, and it's like, well, okay, I waited this long. And it's like, I definitely know I'm going to do it because I don't leave stuff just undone. And I just think I kind of just having a build-up moment of, hey, now I have, since I don't have class, now I have an extra hour, 50 minutes, I believe, or now 35 minutes. And so I think that would be better for me because I got... It is that, and then I have physical therapy, and be nice if physical therapy just done. So, but yeah, this, I think I'm going to get there. Who knows, maybe the next time when I talk to you, it's be done.
Yeah. But sometimes we also need to just call bull on ourselves too, you know, so it depends. You know, sometimes we are busy, but quite often we are good at calling excuses, you know, so. It's just being real, real with all of ourselves, you know. And listen, I'm not throwing any stones because there's certain things that I'm not good at. But what I'm trying to do is just let go of the stuff that's just not me, you know, and just not your thing. And that's okay.
And before we wrap up, where can people find you?
Super simple. So most of my stuff there is all through mightypete.com. So mighty, MIGHTYPETE. So that's where you can find the Facebook link. My book is available, well, as of next week, it will be on Amazon globally. So that is Be Heard to Be Rich, or Listen to Your Inner Genius. And but yeah, we'll have a link on the website. I'm on all the usual social media channels and all that, and the podcast links, etc., are available on 25 platforms. So Fire in the Belly, super simple. So it's Fire in the Belly is the podcast, and Mighty Pete is where all my training, education, books, and everything else are. So thank you.
Thanks for being a guest, and hopefully we can have you back.
Super. Thank you very much. I really appreciate it.
Thanks.
Thanks for tuning into Crazer Fitness by Healthy Living Podcast. If you enjoyed this episode, please leave us a review. Your reviews help us be discovered by more people all over the world. Make sure you subscribe to our podcast so you get notified of every new show. In the meantime, please connect with us on social media at Crazer Fitness Guy and follow Jimmy Clare at Jimmy Clare Speaker or Jimmy Clare Speak. While you wait for another brand new episode, please go check out crazyfitnessguy.com. Check out the latest blog posts, events, sales, and more. Hope to see you again next time.
Hydro Flask is the best water bottle in my opinion because it keeps my water nice, cold, and refreshing throughout the day. And yes, I do drink a lot of water throughout the day, so even though it stays colder for longer, I still like having a reusable water bottle like Hydro Flask, because it just sits on my desk and it just sits on my desk and reminds me, hey, you got to drink water. And Hydro Flask, it keeps it cold longer, which makes me want to drink more water throughout the day because, you know, there's nothing worse than drinking warm water. Go to hydroflask.com and use the link in the show notes. And yes, I do get a small commission from Hydro Flask, so, which also helps support the show. So tell them I sent you, use the link below. And yeah, check out hydroflask.com for more information.